Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. And the words from the psalmist. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. So let us join together to worship God and sing to God's praise, praise to the holiest in the height. Let us join to pray. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, great are your works and vast is your dominion. Awesome is your presence. We praise you. In your promise, you bless your people. In your tenderness, you show compassion to the poorest. In your majesty, you rule over our world. We remember your glory. We remember your greatness. We remember your grace. Covenant God, renew us as descendants of Abraham, as partners in your promise and companions in your work. Great are your works, vast is your dominion, eternal is your promise. We thank you that you hear your people when we cry to you, that you hear us as we express our weaknesses. When we set our minds on the things of the earth rather than holy things, forgive us, Lord. When we do not deny ourselves but deny you, forgive us, Lord. When we cling on to our lives rather than lose them for your sake, forgive us, Lord. Through your cross and by your word, you assure us of forgiveness. When we set our minds on what is holy, then we receive your grace, a gift that is greater than life. May our hearts praise you forever. Alleluia. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Can you give me a wave? Most of you are waving. Okay, fine. Today I'm going to ask for your participation, but not by using the chat function. Okay, I'm going to ask you to use the reactions button. So at the bottom of your screen, you'll have something that says reactions. If you click on it, you'll see different symbols. And we're going to play a game called Love It or Hate It. If you love what I'm suggesting, then I would like you to click on the heart symbol. And if you hate what I'm suggesting, then I'm going to ask you to click on the open mouth symbol like that. Okay. And then hopefully it will disappear after a moment or two. You need to give me a slight moment to just flick through the different screens that I've got on Zoom, because I've got three screens and I'm interested to see your reactions to the statements that I'm going to give you. And we're just treating things generally, so I don't want lots of comments about, oh, well, it depends on this, that and the other. Just, you know, love it or hate it. So are we ready? We're ready. Okay, the first thing, eating a chili. So click on your, so it's either love it or hate it. I think there's more hate it than some people put love it. Literally, I'm assuming you're talking about in something and not just eating a raw chili. No, Ray Charlton would actually eat more chili.
And I have been known to accidentally eat a chili, and Ray loved that as well because it was hilarious to him. Not to me, but to him.
Okay, right. So, second comment, smiling at a passerby. Bethany, we're not using the chat function, can I remind you? Yeah. Is there anyone that would feel uncomfortable? Okay. No, we're all happy at smiling at passerby. I've noticed people doing that more since the pandemic, actually. I quite like it. Okay, next one. Singing the national anthem. Slightly controversial. But we've still got more. What does a thumbs up mean? I said hearts or faces. And I don't know what the smiley thing is either. So I just want hearts or faces, please. That's the rules. Thank you. Right. Enjoying a sweet. Yeah, oh, yeah, I have said despite my sweet tooth, I like chocolate and cake and stuff like that, but I'm not actually that keen on sweets. Yeah, most people would enjoy sweet, that's good. What about bungee jumping? Stuart Chandler, you'd really like bungee jumping.
Did it once, it scared the living daylights out of me.
Oh, well done you. I'd hate it, absolutely hate it. Right, running a marathon. Let's see what you come up with. Yeah, most people I think would hate it. Okay, learning to tap dance. That's a definite love heart for me. Yeah. I keep meaning to take it back up again. I've got my tap shoes at work, actually. I should have a little tap around the Mayo Hall. Right. Penultimate one, listening to country music. That one's for you, Leslie. most people... I think most people are putting that they love it, though. So I think, Leslie, that means that we can incorporate more country music into the services. Maybe not. And the last one, be very careful how you reply to this one. The last one is eat peas. Anyone that knows me knows that I've got a bit of a phobia about peas. So most people, thank you, Bethany, you're on my side. Quite actually, there's more people than I thought that don't eat peas. This is very good. Okay. Well, those were rather trivial examples to try and illustrate the fact that it's very basic, that in life we sometimes agree, we sometimes disagree. Today, we see how even Jesus and his disciples didn't always agree. But that didn't mean that Jesus rejected them or that it became some kind of massive confrontational, conflicty argument. In fact, having the courage to argue, but in a godly way, a kindly way, can help us to get along with each other better and also to learn how to follow Jesus more. And that's what happened in today's reading.
We have two readings, the first from Genesis, which Liz Cook will read to us, and the second from Mark, which Alistair Borthwick will read. Alistair's going to leave after the sermon because he's got to have he's hung his jag. Hooray! Good news. in God's first covenant with Abraham, Abraham is told that no one but your very own issue will be your heir. But in the second covenant, Abraham tries to speed things along, and there's the birth of Ishmael. Ishmael is blessed, but God makes it clear that it is an everlasting covenant will be through Isaac. And then in the Gospel according to Mark, we heard that Abraham and Sarah are universal figures giving rise to a multitude of the nations. And here Jesus is the Son of Man as the prototype of God's humanity that God will delight in. But talking to the disciples, there is a truth that is difficult for them to hear.
Genesis chapter 17, reading from verse 1, from the New International Version. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And continuing at verse 15, God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come down from her." Amen.
The Revised Standard Version, Mark 8, 31 to 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen.
Welcome. My name is Sarah. is Leslie Charlton, and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. The texts that I'm preaching from on this day are Genesis 17, verses 1 to 7, then 15 to 16, and Mark 8, verses 31 to 38. If you're just listening to this sermon, let me tell you that you could join us for Zoom, that happens before this, and then the sermon, and then we have Holy Communion together. You would be most welcome to be a part of that. We're not an excluding group. And if there's anything else we can do for you, whether it's just listen, we're up for that. Give us a call. The offer of being father of a nation sounds like a good offer. And Abraham then has to wait. The call of self-denial and cross-carrying, on the other hand, sounds ghastly. No funky advertising slogans there. But being uncomfortable is good for you. No, more than that, you could argue it's essential. If you want to improve your balance, for example, you don't do that by sitting with both your feet on the floor. You do it by standing on one leg and wobbling, and then you shut your eyes, and then you move one leg and you move your balance. And as you wobble, so you improve your balance. It's the challenge that helps you. If you want to learn to be more generous, then you do that by giving away things. Or more generous of spirit, you do that by keeping your mouth shut and challenging our own narrow thoughts. But that's not all there is to it. That's me denying myself because it's good for me. The scripture in Mark makes it clear that it's about denying ourselves because it is right so to do. For Mark, to be a follower of Jesus means being involved in the ministry of Jesus. That will bring you into conflict with the predominant norms of society, not because they are bad, but because they are out of kilter. And that message of Jesus is hard for many Christians in the developed world today. If your Christianity is about a safe, cozy walk with Jesus, then what on earth is all this cross-carrying business? And at that point, people reduce the gospel to being about private morality and usually sex. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says to Peter. You are the Christ, okay? What does that mean? Well, in Mark it means involved in the suffering of the world, which could, not will, but could end up with Jesus on the cross. Jesus having to die for this. And a flash of truth and brilliance from Peter is when he recognises that if this is going to happen to Jesus, and Jesus is going down, so is he. He doesn't like it. He says so. Gets told that what he says is not acceptable. Get thee behind me, Satan. And Jesus goes on to talk to the crowd. Deny yourself, he says, and follow me. Deny yourself. Deny yourself what? Deny yourself self-pity? Deny yourself all those things that you could own? Do you really need that? Deny ourselves the independence and isolation that much of our society encourages. Deny yourself the notion that you can cope with anything. Deny yourself the proactivity which says that we are in charge. We are not. And that's where Abram fits in. God makes his promise to Abram. Abram believed these promises, but then Abraham decides it's going to just nudge it along a little bit, speed things up, get things going. And in the abuse of Hagar, the father of the nation is not painted in a good light. Both Sarah and Abraham exploit and abuse her. Fortunately, the story is recorded of God encountering Hagar in the desert and letting her know that God would be constant even if Abraham and Sarah were not. We know that God is a God at work, and God's ways are not our ways, and God does not follow the lines of thought and behaviour that we would go for. Wacky stuff happens. Well-ordered plans collapse. We have a strategy, says Abraham and Sarah in their meeting with their whiteboard. We want to speed this thing up. I bet you God meant me to impregnate your slave girl, says Abraham to Sarah. Let's use her. Let's take the child, if it's a boy, obviously. And he'll do. I will give you a son by her, says God to Abraham, talking about Sarah. Which means two things. One, that Sarah is essential to the plans of God. And secondly, that Abraham has to learn to wait. In a time and a society where certain peoples were the property of others, it's an astonishing news. This man has to wait for this woman. He tries to nudge things along, but it doesn't work. Abraham needs to deny himself. He does not have the power. He might think he does. He does not. Abraham needs to remember what it was like when he fell down on his face and worshipped. Waiting is agony, like we are waiting. But it's not waiting with nothing to do. We have a job. Our job is to pick up our cross and follow. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean intentionally irritating people or spoiling for a fight perpetually to prove how right we are. That can't be described as loving. It is going and doing daily what we believe God wants us to do. And most of the time it will be about cleaning toilets and doing our jobs properly and loving those who are around us. Small stuff that nobody notices except God. And it will be from a place of ease, but doing what we believe to be right, however tough that is. Keeping on doing what we believe to be right. Carrying our cross, picking it up and moving. It's a generous, self-giving way of life. But which is tougher? That dramatic act that ends up on the cross, or the daily choice of self-sacrificing love, daily giving up your life? There's no false pretense with Jesus. The church might try to trick you that if you follow Jesus, life would be prosperous and fun-filled, but Jesus makes it clear, suffering is always going to be part of the deal. Not suffering if something goes wrong, but suffering just because you are choosing to follow him. Jesus doesn't try to lure people to follow him because it's the easy way. Christianity was always meant to be a call of the few, rather than the balm of the masses. Jesus came not to make life easy, but to make people great. That would be demanding, and it will involve sacrifice. What makes these times difficult is that for each of us to be involved in this ministry, we need to be intentional about it. We will not bump into those little opportunities where we can help. We need to be seeking out people and service opportunities intentionally. And if you're thinking and wondering to yourself, I can't see what that looks like for me, I'm happy to chew that over with you. Give me a call. The other thing about Jesus is that he calls us to sacrifice, going against our natural instinct Because we like applause and we like speedy earthly success. We know that those were his temptations too. He went to the cross to do what he believed to be God's will. He went to the cross and bled and died. Whatever your theology of the cross is, it is a reality from our point of view. Jesus, to keep true to what he believed, went to his death. He died on the cross because he crossed the path of the Romans and the powerful among the Jews. We are not being asked to do things by someone who doesn't know what it's like, who sits outside of our lives and outside of our situation. Jesus knows what pain feels like. He knows what it is like when those you love misunderstand you. He knows what it's like when people say daft things about you. He knows all that. We are called by Jesus to pick up our cross and deny ourselves. So what does deny yourself mean? Simply put, it means saying no to yourself. You want to eat it? You want to drink it? No. You want to do that? No. You want to say that? Express your views in such an explosive rant? No. You want to join in that negative view about that group of people, which you know is contrary to the gospel? No. You want to give up? No. We keep on building brick by brick. The final bit that must be added is that a life well lived is a life in which we deny ourselves. We don't do this for our sake, but the best life, the fullest life, is a life that is lived as an offering. It is only when you put yourself second that you can actually be involved in loving another. And what on earth does life mean if it doesn't mean loving? Amen.
So let us pray. God of infinite compassion, because you have shown us that you care, we dare to pray for all who are stricken with grief. All for whom life seems dark and wearisome and full of despair. For all who are hungry in this selfish world of plenty. Persecuted people of the world. And those who are neglected in their need. We pray for all who have power and yet lack real convictions and real concern for human need. For those with power who have no understanding of service involving sacrifice. We pray for those who feel that they've been asked to sacrifice so much. people short of money. People depleted because of the amount of work they've been asked to do. People whose relationships are close to collapse. For ourselves, Lord, we pray. For we are so prone to despair, yet called to be a hopeful sign. We are so ready to give in, but we are called to encourage others to endure. We are so prone to doubt, but we are called to bring others to faith in you. Lord, we pray for ourselves and for all Christians, that we would be women and men who look for truth and work for good. We ask for loving hearts and courageous spirits. People who can face the hardness of life and the darkness of death in the confidence which comes from knowing that our cause is right and that right will come with joy and with gladness. Bring mercy and peace to full fruition. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now that I'm through the first phase of my bereavement, and now that we're through the 24 hours of prayer, which happened straight away, I've put my head up and saying I'm going to put it in my diary that on a Monday between 4 and 6 I'm sitting at home. Well, I'm sitting at home, of course, we're all are, and I'm sitting there with my phone waiting for you to call me. 4 till 6 every Monday. Of course I'll pick the phone up some other time. Of course I'll respond. Some people, what they're doing is they're sending me a text or an email that says, can we have a chat, and we make a date and a time. That's good. But otherwise, Mondays, 4 till 6, I'll be there. Congratulations to Kingston Christian Aid Committee, who last year raised the largest amount for Christian Aid in the UK. In the UK, mate. Over £2,000. Sorry, £20,000. They acted quickly to change Christian Aid Week, and the money came in. Thank you to all those who donated. And the Christian Aid Committee, look forward to your involvement for next year. Hooray, thank you very much. You've set the bar high, you've got to take it high, haven't you? There's a project, as you know, making up squares of depicting flowers, that when I send out these notices, you'll get that. If you want more information, ask me, otherwise get sewing. Bible study on Philippians, Wednesday night, 7:30, and Rachel's Bible study at the moment is taking a break. I'll be sending you details of that and the Lent groups that are ongoing. Body and soul workout on the Monday, 8:00. Be there or be stiff. Thank you, Rose. Tuesday coffee morning, we're changing it slightly. somebody commented when we were talking together about how we can make life better for each other, that actually getting together regularly is a bit boring because all you do is talk about COVID. So Tuesday morning, coffee morning. One, you're not allowed to talk about COVID. I know it's going to be hard. And two, it's always going to have a topic. Not a big life and death sort of topic, but a bit of flim-flam. And the topic this week is, what's your favourite meal? Tuesday morning, usual logins for coffee morning. Come along and no COVID, no COVID chat. What's your favourite meal? Would you be prepared to be a reader, please? Derek needs people to help. We'll send us an email, send us a request if you're not on your on this list, and please, we'll be grateful of your help. Two events. I am warning you now and telling you that you need to get your costumes ready for the, drumroll please, Kingston United Reformed Church disco. Yes, it is going to happen. Hooray! Woo! On the 20th of March at 7 o'clock. Some of you are already ahead of the game. 20th of March, 7 o'clock. Invite everybody. Come on, come along. Just, you know, you're allowed to take, put your videos off. Just shake it to some tunes. That's all there is to it. Usual rules apply, of course. No ABBA. back on Earth, where most sensible ministers of religion live, there will be a service, an area service, to give a chance to pray and to remember on the 21st of March at 6:30 on Zoom, and the moderator will be preaching. The details of all of this are coming your way. News of people. June Avery's funeral Zoom will be this Thursday on the 4th at 5 using the usual church logins. Her funeral will be on the 22nd of March at 2:20, and that will be live streamed. Evelyn White is still in Walton Community Hospital. We have her mobile number if you would like it. Evelyn is finding things tough. So if you know Evelyn, it would be great if you could pick up the number and give her a call. I've heard from Sally, Mary Cole's daughter, with an update from Mary. Anybody who knows Mary and would like to see the letter, let me know and I'll get it to you. Condolences to the Charlton family on the death of Ray's uncle last week. My brother's dog had puppies in the night. Four. In case you're interested, four little Westies. So I thought, because I'm always looking for something, I'm going to send you some pictures. Some pup pictures. Pup dates. You're going to get some pup dates. And if you're a cat person and you hate anything to do with dogs, delete them. If they give you a smile, then it's a good thing. That's all there is to it. Again, call me if you need a chat. Do it. Be brave. Be brave. I'm going to dedicate our offering and then we'll move to our communion. Let everyone give not grudgingly or out of necessity, but from joyfulness and fullness and gratitude to God. So let us pray. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise the Creator, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come to this table to meet the living God. Love indescribable and beyond our imagining, yet closer than our breathing. Come to this table to meet the risen Christ, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, God with us, embodied in our living. Come to this table to meet the life-giving Spirit, interpreting our search for truth and justice, breathing into us renewing power. come to find, to meet, to hold the living, loving God made new for us in bread and wine. For the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread and we take wine, and in our separateness together we come to join with Jesus, and we offer our prayers of thanks. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for all women and men who have loved you and stood by you, whatever the consequences, who have known themselves to be your well-loved children, and for the sake of future joy have endured whatever cross has been laid upon them. Thank you for the word of your love, which goes on being repeated for our sakes, for the hope we have, the strength we are given, and the joy we share. Thank you for the mystery we hold at our heart's center of what you are and what we hope for. Thank you for the mystery of this meal, where we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ through time and around the world. And in our division and separateness, we are united. Thank you for this mystery of Jesus present with us now. Jesus who lived, who taught, who suffered, who died, and who rose again, who is present with us through the Spirit, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ, and as we eat and drink, we would discern that you are with us and that we are with others. Let your grace and joy increase in us until we come to praise and serve you, unhindered by doubt or fear or shame, shining with your pure splendor in the victorious and unrestricted love of Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Body of Christ, which is broken for you. The blood of Christ, which is shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let's pray. Loving God, it feels so tempting to walk away from the tough choices, to see our individual needs as the most important. Like Peter, our focus is on what suits us best. Yet you desire more for us. You long for something deeper from us. the way of the cross, denying ourselves, giving up that which makes us feel safe on our own and protected from others, is what brings life. You turn our world upside down. You invite us to choose differently. In losing our lives, we gain them. Loving God, help us to lean on you when the tough choices come. Help us to remember moments like this when we make the decisions of our everyday, so that our lives may more clearly reflect the way of the cross. And not the way of the cushion. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Join together to sing our final hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. Once I've prayed, and we'll then go into breakout rooms, and we know that what happens is that about a third of you all skedaddle off, and I get it that some of you have got other responsibilities, but that just to warn those who do go into breakout rooms, that that means that the person who's, today it'll be Martin, who's putting us into breakout rooms, has to wait, because otherwise somebody could be sent into a breakout room by themselves, which doesn't actually do anybody's security any good, does it? No. Hi, have a breakout room, and we'll chuck you in a room by yourself. No, so we have to wait until everybody else has moved on. But please stay, stick around. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're zoomed out, then be brave and pick up the phone and have a chinwag with somebody in that way. Lord, your words are hard as they hit at the heart. Like Peter, we often want to shout no. And then you remind us again and again that your way is no easy way. Your grace is not cheap. Your cross stands before us and you call us to carry it. When we fear, when we resist, hold us with your grace. Lord, this week, may we dare to follow you. And all God's people said, Amen.